Welcome to the Nonprofit Executive Podcast, the podcast for growth-minded nonprofit executives looking to take their nonprofit to the next level through strategic planning and fundraising. This episode is brought to you by the Nonprofit Executive Club, the club for nonprofit executives. Go to nonprofitexecutiveclub.com to learn more. I'm your host, Mary Valone, and my co-host, as always, is the Joel Kessel. Welcome, Joel.
Hey, Mary. How are you today?
Hey. Doing awesome. I'm super excited today because we're going to be diving into the first of your 8 steps to talk about strategic planning. And what a mouthful, huh? Strategic planning. I know it's like, you know, everybody knows that strategy is important, but why do so many people not have a strategic plan?
Well, you know what? Because the same challenge you just had, it's a mouthful. And I think a lot of people feel like it's this big daunting task. They hear strategic planning and all of a sudden they think, you know, oh, that's for really, really smart people who do all these other things. It's like, no, it's not. It you know, we make it out to be bigger than what it really is. And all we're doing here is just gaining some clarity and focus and setting our organization on the right path to go somewhere, right? Yeah. Whenever we plan a vacation, we know where we're going and we have to plan out how we're going to get there. Strategic planning is the same way. We're mapping out the steps that we need to take to get to a desired future state in you know, 3-5 years, whatever the case may be. So it doesn't have to be that hard. You know, I think in one of the previous episodes, I said, really, there's 3 questions we need to ask ourselves when it comes to strategy. One is, where do we want to be? Number 2, what do we need to do? Number 3, how are we going to get there? If we can just think about strategy and within those 3 questions, all of a sudden I think it gets really, really easy to get our arms around that and actually put a plan in place.
Okay, where do we want to be? Where do we want to go? And what was the other one?
How are we going to get there?
How are we going to get there? Exactly. I mean, and that's the thing. It's interesting how like the simple questions are the ones that really drive everything. It doesn't take much. It just doesn't take much. But I think you hit on something that people think that this is something so much bigger than it really has to be. So now you have an expert strategic advisor on your team, on your side, and Joel can make you look really smart and really fancy to all your friends. So today we're going to really dig into the first step, which is called set your foundation. But tell us, what are those 8 steps, just so that we're really familiar with where we're going?
Boy, you're putting me on the spot. I've got to come up with my 8 steps, right?
Okay.
No, we're good. So we got set your foundation. We're going to talk about that today. Then number 2 is take a look at your world. Number 3 is realize your future. That's where we talk about vision, mission, and values. Number 4 is assess your organization. That's your standard or your typical SWOT analysis. 5 is tighten your focus. This is where we really start to dive deep into what are some of those strategies that are going to help us stay focused. Number 6 is establish your measurement. So how are we going to measure our progress throughout the life of our strategic plan? Number 7 is gather your tactics. So that's really the how we're going to do our strategic plan. And then the last step is your plan to execute. Mm-hmm. And Mary, I've been doing this long enough to know that last step is where most organizations fail. That's where the train comes off the tracks, is they go through all the steps, create this plan, and it never gets executed. When we get there, we're going to talk about some ways to make it a lot more manageable to actually execute the plan that you have in place.
Isn't that crazy how we do? We will work so hard at something, get about 90% there, and then like not finish it off.
I know.
It's crazy. So I'm glad that today we're going to be, you know, and over the course of these next several episodes, really digging into this so that we know like, hey, don't get to step number 7 and then bail, you know, like let's make sure that we finish this thing off and complete the entire strategic plan and move forward. So, all right, well, let's jump in. Let's talk about set your foundation. Tell us, what does that mean?
Yeah, okay. So set your foundation. So before we ever get into the boardroom or the planning room and we start to talk about our strategic plan, let's take a step back and really set the foundation. Let's put ourselves in the right position to actually go into that boardroom and hit the ground running with everybody on the same page. So one mistake some organizations make is they carve out 2 hours at a monthly board meeting. They go through a SWOT analysis, and then at the end, they slap a title page on it called strategic plan. That is not a strategic plan. And the audience is one audience, I believe, that needs to have a voice at the table. What we're looking for here when we look at our planning team is a diverse group of people. So we're talking about staff, obviously the executive director, the board chair, maybe a couple of other board members, major donors, other volunteers. Maybe there's, you know, a client or the people that you serve in the community. Who have you helped in the last 12 months? Who have you helped in the last 12 years? They bring a very different perspective and experience of your organization than the board chair. I cannot stress enough the importance of really having a lot of different viewpoints and opinions and voices at the table, because that's going to allow for a much deeper and richer discussion and really help that strategy get to where it needs to be. I always get the question, well, how many?
Yeah.
Anywhere from 4 to 10. I mean, depending on the size of your organization, if you're a much, much smaller organization, you know, probably around 4 people is fine. If you're a larger organization, then, you know, 10 people is fine. I've worked with both sized groups and both work, but it really does get back to, we need to have that diversity at the table.
Yeah. You know, what's so great, just real quick, is that, you know, what you said, they're a larger group, the 10 people. I mean, you just mentioned off all these different, you know, people that you want at the table. And so, yeah, if you've got a large group, you absolutely want to have the board member and the, you know, have each core constituent party that's a part of your future sitting, one member sitting at the table. And I love that when you say, because it is, when you're a smaller organization, you're like, well, shoot, I don't have that many people. Right. How can I possibly even find them? So really great advice on that, 4 to 10 people. I like that.
Yeah. So once we get that core planning team now, and I know this question always comes up, well, what about the other board members who want to feel like they're part of the process? Yeah. Great question. So not everybody has to be part of the actual in the boardroom type conversations. Actually, there's probably some board members who are like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be part of that. I've got a full-time job. I can't commit that much time. That's fine. You can carve out some time to get their feedback. You know, part of this plan to, or part of this set the foundation step is, all right, who are all of those stakeholders that we need to be part of the process? Not necessarily part of the in the boardroom type conversations, but who else do we need to get perspectives and an insight from? And we can do that through your survey, you know, electronic survey. You can do that through one-on-one interviews, either over the phone or have coffee. You can do focus groups with a group of people. And that's where you can get the rest of the board members involved, other community members involved, other clients, volunteers, and staff members. Right? So there's other ways to get all those other stakeholders engaged in the process without actually having to be in the conference room for 2 full days talking about strategic planning.
Yeah. And when you talk about, you know, if you were to have, let's just say that somebody did go this route and they pulled their entire board members, you know, that entire team together, and let's just say, you know, they have 6 people on the board and now 6 out of the 10 members are board members, what happens?
On the planning team?
Yes.
I mean, you better have a really good facilitator to make sure that we're getting all the perspectives that we need to during the discussions.
Exactly. I mean, it would just be so skewed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's the problem, is why that one, you know, instead of having 6 board members at the table and only having one, is that way that one person's representing the entire board. I find that on the fundraising side all the time, where it's like, if you get 6 people who are basically the same, they're in the same role, they're going to see from the same perspective. Yeah. Then you're going to have 60% of your opinion is going to be focused in one bucket when you want it to be equally broken down.
So some other things to think about as you're thinking about your planning team, and what are some of the, you know, we understand the backgrounds that we're looking for, but also, do these people have a clear sense of direction? Do they, you know, are they key players with real information, you know, about your organization? Do they have a broad perspective? You know, that's, you know, comes with that diversity. You know, we want a mix of job and cultural diversity as well. So that adds to that member profile of what we're looking for when it comes to that planning team member.
Really good. Hey, one question that always comes in, you know, up on around this topic here too, is just thinking through, is this a group of people that has to meet all the time? Like, what kind of commitment is somebody making when they say they're going to be a part of this?
Yeah, that's a good question. When I typically take an organization through this process, we're looking at this point when we set the foundation, this is a conference call. I'll counsel the executive director or whoever's taking the lead on this project to say, okay, who's going to be on part of the core planning team? I'll guide them through, you know, who should be on that. They then recruit them and they do the coordination to get them to commit. Then we have this conference call or a Zoom video call to talk about the set the foundation. So we've got the core planning team or the planning team in place. Then we get them on the call and we'll go through several questions to help set the foundation and expectations of what we expect from them, what they can expect from me. And then it's going to go into two, I call them half days, but usually it's two in-person sessions that last around 4 to 5 hours. And those sessions could be back-to-back days. Typically, because of schedules, you know, there's a two-week gap in between, or sometimes it's even a month in between session one and session two. That's okay. Sometimes having that break in between is good, because then it allows me to sift through all the notes from day one, get some more clarity, and then be better prepared for day two. I've also worked with some organizations where, you know what, we can't commit that much. Well, here's what we did. We broke it up and we met twice a month every morning for an hour and a half for about 3 months.
Okay.
That still works.
Okay. And well, that's what I was wondering, is that if you've got that commitment, if people say, well, what does this mean if I'm going to be a part of this? You pretty much are saying anywhere from 10 to 12 hours to plan this out. And that would be enough, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
To really get to, and I mentioned this earlier on a previous episode, I'm a huge fan of less is more. This strategic planning process leads to a one-page strategic plan. How wonderful does that sound? You know, I've seen it. And I recently just reviewed a plan for an executive director. She said, hey, I'd love to get your thoughts on this. It was 38 pages. And I wrote in the notes on page 5, I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to read anymore. And I know that every other person that reads that plan is going to feel the same way at that point. And like, I can't read 35 more pages. Well, that's where this one page plan comes into play. Everybody I talk to about it, they're like, oh my gosh, thank you. This is huge. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, and that's what I'm just trying to process here as you're talking, that I'm like, is it not worth 10 to 12 hours of your time and the time of your key stakeholders, your key volunteers, your key people to sit around the table and come up with the strategic plan that's going to revolutionize the way that you run your nonprofit over the course of the next 3 to 5 years?
It's absolutely worth it. Now, I will say this, just to manage, you know, you asked the timing question and the commitment, you know, after step 8 of your plan to execute, that's where we really want to get the staff involved. Okay. Or if you have limited staff and you're still relying on some board members, you know, we want to bring some other people who are going to take ownership and actually manage part of the execution. We want them then at that point to come in and develop the work plans and really dive deeper into the how. The one-page plan will have high-level ideas and initiatives on how we're going to do it, but then we also need to take it a step further and really dive deep into work plans on these are the exact steps we need to take to execute upon this program or this particular initiative. But we can talk about that on a later episode, because that would merit a full episode to talk about. But that does go back into the expectation on what their commitment is.
Great. So as you're pulling this team together, then the first step is to really get them all onto a call together. And then what happens once they're on that call?
Yeah, we just get on and I go through the process and ask them, hey guys, how long in the future should this organization or should we be planning for? Some are 1 year, some are 3, some are 5 years, some even do 10. You know, typically it's common for organizations to say, you know what, just in the nature of where we are as a society, 3 years makes a lot of sense. And knowing that we are going to review that plan on an annual basis for sure and make the right adjustments to it. So typically 3 years is the planning horizon, but we always ask that question, to make sure everybody on the planning team understands how far in the future that we're planning. And then from there, we go right into what are some of the issues that we're facing. I love to ask this question right out front because this helps set the tone for some of the goals that we're going to establish. So the question is, what are 3 to 5 challenges or issues facing us today as an organization? And having that discussion with the group, a lot of the important issues are going to rise to the top. And it gets, again, it gets everyone aligned and on the same page. Those then will eventually turn into the strategic objectives or the goals of the strategic plan and helps set the framework for the planning sessions. Because then me as the facilitator, I'm always keeping an eye on, okay, during that initial phase, we talked about some challenges. Are we talking about those challenges in those discussions and in those strategy sessions? So we have to ask ourselves those questions right up front, so because they're going to direct the rest of the planning effort.
Well, and just addressing kind of the elephant in the room kind of questions and challenges and the things that we're all thinking, but maybe nobody's saying. And then mm-hmm. It's like just getting that all out in the open. I think that's a great way to kick off your conversation and be able to get things rolling. So appreciate that a lot because I think we just get distracted. It's so easy to get off course when it's like, of course, there's lots of things that we want to accomplish and lots of things that we want to do, but what are we really dealing with? So I love that question.
Yeah. And along those lines and that point is another follow-up question to ask. And I do this all the time when I'm working with an organization and we go through these challenges. Then I ask, okay, this is fine. Let me ask you this. How many of these are really challenges or are these symptoms of a deeper issue that's going on in the organization? And that's just a different way to look at it. And a lot of times they're like, oh yeah, that's a problem because of this. Okay, but then we need to focus on this, not what you initially thought.
Oh, it's really good. It's like the question behind the question. It's like where, or the statement, because one of the questions that I often ask, when I'm starting to work with somebody on the fundraising side is I'm always like, what was the biggest thing that you as an organization had to go through? Because usually what happens is an executive director left, a board member left, maybe somebody stole some money. you never know like what underlying thing this organization has been through. And then it's like, oh my God, like we're still dealing with that drama because it shook the very foundation of the organization. And so what, this challenge, it may not be like, and we'll talk about it in further steps too, the internal challenges, the external challenges. But, I often find that there's something that happened in the organization that still is a challenge for everybody to get through and get over. So something that'll kind of bubble to the surface in those questions for sure.
So, just some common challenges, just to throw it out there that I hear all the time, finances, our fundraising, we can do a better job. Marketing and awareness, that's a huge one. I hear that all the time. They, it's amazing how many don't have a marketing communications or plan in place. They're just sort of doing stuff. At board engagement or board diversity, that's always, a big one that rises to the top. And there's, some other things, but those are typically the top three that I commonly hear, from organizations.
Yeah, not surprised actually. Because those questions do come up a lot. And especially when you're dealing with money, finances, and then you personalities, people, it's a good combination for challenge, right?
Yeah. High turnover. I hear that, many times. So, those are those typical challenges. But what we want to do in this is really, we don't want to have a list of 17.
Right.
Let's really get down to the heart of the matter and what are those top 3 to 5 that boy, if we made some changes in these 3 to 5 areas, our organization is really going to make a drastic change in how it operates and functions and really makes a larger impact.
And what I see here is just having some heart-to-heart conversations. Yeah. How this stuff is stuff that people don't always verbalize.
Yeah.
And to create a safe space for this to happen, I think it's going to be really powerful. And I obviously have seen it be extremely powerful for organizations. So really good. So after we talk about the challenges, what's the next thing on our list to discuss?
Yeah. So the couple other questions we ask, what are some challenges or issues that you guys have encountered in previous planning efforts? Mm-hmm. Now, it could be strategic planning. It could be you know, program planning, just whatever planning efforts, what are some other challenges or issues you've encountered in the past? You know, and that I've heard all kinds of things in that regard. So that runs the gamut, and it's really specific to that particular organization. You know, some people on the planning team, they'll bring experiences from other organizations or within their own job, you know, challenges or issues that they've encountered. So it's good to just have those different perspectives and say, hey, guys, let's be aware of these challenges that we may face. But then also, you know, if we feel we're going to, you know, have those challenges, how are we going to get through them? Let's have that conversation now, so when it does happen, we know exactly what we're going to do, instead of it happening in the moment and now we waste an hour trying to figure it out and where we should be planning for the organization. That's why I like to ask that question during this, you know, setting your foundation type phase.
Yeah, because I bet there are a lot of just bad experiences or experiences that were not, you know, that didn't go anywhere. Like you said, they got through majority of their strategic planning process and then they didn't actually implement or execute the plan. So I can see where that comes into play too. It's like, oh, do we waste our time sitting here working on this and then we're not even going to do anything? That's also something for you.
Bingo.
Which is great to talk through that. It's like, we're actually going to do this time.
That's right. That's right. No, that's a great point. That's a great point. Another question is, what barriers do we think will exist that will prevent us from planning in an effective way? And this is where, you know, schedules and calendars come into play. I mean, if we've got a planning team of 10 people from different backgrounds, it, you know, that might be a challenge or a barrier to keep us from planning in an effective way. So, you know, I mentioned earlier that one organization that met every other week for an hour and a half for 3 months, that worked for that planning team, where other planning teams, it's like, hey man, we can go from 3 until 8 o'clock in the evening, you know, for 2 nights. Mm-hmm. I don't have to take off a bunch of work to do that. Or we'll start at 7 a.m. and be done by noon. So we just need to be, you know, that calendar and that scheduling is one of those big barriers that's going to prevent the team from really planning in an effective way. You know, and another thing, and by now, if we're even at this point, it should have been approved, but just internal support, right? Is the leadership team on board? Is the board and the board chair on board with this effort? I mean, if we're at this point, yeah, that obviously there's probably been some level of approval through the system, and we need to make sure that everybody internally is aligned on what we're going through. But if they're not aligned and they're still doing this, that may be a problem that will prevent them from planning in an effective way, because, you know, you just don't have that internal alignment, and we need that alignment.
I've noticed that quite a bit, where it's like an executive director really wants to move forward with something like this, or a board member, you know, vice versa, and one or the other, that they're like, I'd love to get this going. I just can't seem to get my people on board. I can't get them to all sit around the table. Do you have any suggestions for those people?
Yeah, you know what? There's an executive director I'm working with now. About 6 months ago, went through my workshop. She says, we absolutely have to do this. Yeah. Awesome. Well, she went to her board and they said, no, we're fine. And she was like, what? So she calls me back and we have another session. And I said, look, at the end of the day, you know, and I know that you are going to have a strategic plan, right?
Yeah.
And she said, yeah. I said, we're just taking a different route to get there. It's not going to be, I've got full board approval. But here's an executive director who's looking for clarity, focus, and direction on how to take this organization to the next level. And she doesn't have board approval. Mm-hmm. There is misalignment there. But what we ended up doing is, I said, look, you have the workbook. You have the guidebook that I teach in my live workshops. Take you and your team through that guidebook. Start answering those questions. If you need to talk to people, other stakeholders, you can pick up the phone, have coffee with board members, with donors, with all those other people, you know, other stakeholders. They don't need to know that you're going through your own strategic planning process. You're just picking up the phone to get some information and insight from those different perspectives and different folks. She ended up developing her own strategic plan with her staff. And right now they're getting prepared to present it to the board, but that's the approach that she took, and it worked.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, she's still presenting it to the board, but it is a little bit reversed. It's in a different order, but I love the fact that she did not stop. She did not let the board stop her from moving forward.
Yes.
And that's what I want everyone to hear, is that we can make a lot of excuses why we shouldn't do this, or, oh, I don't have board approval, or my staff's not on board, or whatever the story is. I just want you to hear, yeah, this example. Joel, you and I hear excuse after excuse after excuse on why we can't raise the money and why we don't have a strategic plan. And
yeah,
and then you have people like this who are like, we're plowing through, we're doing it, you know? And there's just no reason for you not to take the steps forward with or without your team.
Yes. And I want to add to this story, because I know what some people are thinking, you know, well, what's going to happen when she presents it to the board?
Yeah.
What's the board going to say? She kind of went over their head or went around them. Well, I told her, you've got to have conversations with board members. You've got to have conversations with all these other people. Don't let it be just you and your staff.
Yeah.
You still have a responsibility to gain perspectives and insights from a variety of different stakeholders. They are essentially your diverse planning team. It's just, you know, different. You're taking a different approach to it, because the reason why you want to have those conversations, so when you are presenting that plan, and you know, John, the one board member, says, I don't agree with this, you know. Well, John, remember when we had that coffee a month ago and you said this? That's part of this plan. So all of a sudden, she's in a position to say, this is our plan. This isn't me telling you what I think we should do. And all of a sudden, it takes on a different tone and a different dynamic.
Well, and you just said it. She didn't go behind their back. It was, hey, I had, instead of doing the way that you had approached it initially, where it was, hey, we're going to do that initial phone call, we're going to do 2 half days, or maybe we meet every 2 weeks for an hour and a half and we spread it out. She did the third approach, which is go pull the information from these key stakeholders, these key members, and still get the same content and get the same information, just doing it. She just had to do it in a much more extent. It took up a lot more of her time, I'm sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it did. It did.
Yeah. But hey, regardless, get the job done. You know, sometimes yeah, it's easy and sometimes it's a little bit more difficult, but I'm sure in the end she'll get the same, hopefully the same results in the end.
Yeah.
So to continue this and just to wrap up the, you know, set your foundation, what else do we need to know in this particular step? We're pulling our team together.
Yeah. So when we're on this conference call with the planning team, you know, we want to wrap it up just to make sure that, you know, everyone's clear and on the same page. Let's establish some ground rules. You know, we want to go through and adhere to consensus decision-making, right? So we want to do this as a team. We are all here on the same team. We want the same things ultimately for this organization. So let's plan this plan as a team. Let's set our personal agendas aside. Actively support the group decision, even if it's not the exact one that you would personally make. And if I can take a second back to the core, that planning team, if there's a squeaky wheel on your board or on your staff or a donor, we probably want them to be part of this planning team. Mm-hmm. And here's why. Because if they're part of this process and the group decision making is taking place and conversations are being had as to why we're going in this direction and why not that direction, that squeaky wheel all of a sudden becomes an advocate and supporter, yeah, of this plan. And they will be one of your biggest advocates when this plan rolls out. So that's why we want to think about, you know, who is that person that's always pushing us and giving us a quote unquote hard time.
Yeah.
Probably want them part of this process. Some other ground rules. We want to look at all sides of an issue and have a full discussion. Again, it's why we want to have a diverse group of people at the table. Focus on the substance of the discussion. And we want to prioritize, because going through this process, there's going to be a lot of ideas that are thrown out there. We can't do all of them. So prioritizing and going through that process to really determine what matters. I mean, I've done things like, hey guys, you've got 5 stickers and we've got, you know, 17 ideas up there on the wall. You can use those 5 stickers any way you want. You can put all 5 on one idea. You can put 5 on 5 different ones, but it's up to you. And so that's just an easy technique and way to get that group decision-making, you know, going and make the right decision and prioritizing, you know, some of the things. And lastly, let's take the time that we need. I can't stress that enough. You know, I've taken organizations through this and it's taken 2 months, and that's really, really fast. Other times, you know, we've got to do a lot of research up front. We've got to go out and do some focus groups and surveys. That takes time. And in those instances, it can take, you know, upwards to 6 to 9 months before we actually have an approved plan that's ready to go. The point here is we don't have to say, we're going to get this done in 3 months. Well, hold on. Let's take the time that we need, because if we're planning for success that is 3 or 5 months in, or 3 to 5 years into the future, we can certainly take 3 to 6 to 9 months right now to make sure that we do the right thing. Because you know what? We don't get a do-over here.
It's really good. And I appreciate that too. Just taking the time that you need, I think, on anything. The worst thing that can happen is when you've got people who are like, where's the door? Where's the door? Where's the door? Are we done yet? Are we done yet?
Yeah.
So it's like, I would hope that when you're identifying the people that you're bringing on, that you do think about who are people that are really invested in this and will see this all the way through. Because I think sometimes we set ourselves up for failure by just getting the wrong people at the table. And I think people thinking through this really strategically is an important thing. So
yeah.
These are so good, Joel. I mean, like, I really hope people are paying attention, because, you know, planning out your plan, I mean, really setting the foundation, getting this really this first thing set by, and I think really when I hear this, it's like, you do want to just make a decision that you're going to do this and you're going to do it well. I mean, how yeah. often is when we make any progress in any direction, it's just really making the decision that, hey, we're going to do this. So many people choose not to, right? What's your statistic? Is it 51% choose not to?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And you know what, you know, a thought that comes to mind and why that stat is so high, I think is, yeah, it's daunting. But I think a lot of executive directors and CEOs feel like it's all on their shoulders. And gang, I'm here to tell you, it is not all on your shoulders. That's why this planning team is so critically important, because, and why we want to have a couple of board members as part of this process. This is their organization as much as it is yours. And by them being part of the process, ultimately, when it comes time to present this plan to the board for review and approval, it's not the executive director who's presenting it. It's the board member that sat through those sessions to plan to get to the plan that they have today. And now all of a sudden it's peer to peer and it's not executive director to the board. And it just makes life so much easier for that executive director, that CEO, to go through this process.
All right. Well, I don't know if you have any last thoughts on this before we wrap, but such great information. And I hope you guys will take some time to even listen to this again and listen to it over and over again to just start really getting your arms wrapped around what do you need to do just to get started? Because this is a great place to start, great crew to, like, you know, hey, who's going to be the foundation of what we're building here for the next, you know, for the plan for the next 3 to 5 years. So good. Any last thoughts, Joel?
No, you know what? Yeah, just trust the process, really. Trust the process. Don't go blindly, you know, into the steps that we're going to cover here in the next several weeks. But, you know, this process does work. So reiterate that to your planning team is, hey, gang, we're going to go through these steps and have these conversations and ask these questions. And it's going to feel really, really messy. Mm-hmm. I think that's another point that they need to understand. And messy is okay. That gives us permission to be really creative. And, you know, we get to make the decisions and come up with really creative ideas on how we're going to take this organization to the next level. So, you know, my final thought there is trust the process that we're going to take you through in this program.
Great. Well, and you guys are listening to one of the best in the business. Okay. So Joel is working every single day with executive directors and their boards and their teams to walk them through this process. So this is not Joel's first rodeo teaching you how to do this. So pay attention, because it is, I mean, he's seen a lot of great success, seen a lot of organizations totally turn things around. And we believe that that can happen for your cause too. So if you've got that huge vision, that big mission that you're like, this seems daunting and overwhelming, well, trust me, you cannot go it alone. And that's why we're here, because we know that it's, you know, the last thing you want to do is feel like you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders. So let's bring some really amazing people around us. And we just thank you again for letting Joel and I come into your earbuds or your car, or maybe you're, you know, on an elliptical machine or a treadmill somewhere. We hope that you will continue listening with us, take action on the stuff that Joel has been sharing here. Get this team together. And of course, if you need some additional support, be sure to jump in and start looking into the Nonprofit Executive Club. Of course, this is the place where we are available to you directly. And I know sometimes people are like, oh, I just need somebody on my team. Well, that's why Joel and I are providing resources out there for you to do that. So nonprofitexecutiveclub.com if you want to check out more information about that. And until next time, we will see you guys next week. And in the meantime, let's go take our nonprofits to the next level, right? Let's go do it. All right. Hope you guys have a great week.